Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, welcome to the Craig and Greg Show.
Who are we?
You're Craig.
Yes. I'm Craig. This is Greg. 3 years almost that we've been doing these podcasts. Nice job.
Oh, we almost did a turkey there. We get it. Okay.
Yeah. And what's the other one? The squirrel?
Yeah.
I don't know, Dan.
This awkward exchange we don't want to have. Now, I know Greg very well, and he knows me very well. And it occurred to me that, you know, we kind of jumped into this podcast, and maybe you guys don't know us as well as we know each other. And so we thought we would just do a little bit of episode. Who exactly are Craig and Greg?
I'd love to know.
I'd like to know a little bit more about you. Well, let me start off by saying this. I moved to West Michigan in April of 1991, and in May of 1991 is when I first met you. Mm-hmm. And we played basketball together during our lunchtime breaks. And I remember one of the first things, because I was May, this is how I remember it, is I said something about my birthday coming up, and you said, oh, mine's May 30th, and I said, that's when my birthday is as well. And there was just a whole lot of connections that were just kind of weird because they were so close to each other. And but we just, boy, I think, you know, a friendship developed like really quickly. And it's been so great to, you know, we've been involved in business projects. We've been involved in nonprofit projects. We've helped out organizations. We've been behind the scenes in different places. We've done a lot of playing together, some fun activities. We've rolled up our sleeves and done a lot of working activities, cried together, laughed together, rejoiced together. There's been a lot of things that we've done. But let's talk a little bit about some of our backgrounds, maybe even prior to even meeting each other. If I can remember farther back than that, that was a long time ago. But why don't you, let's start with, I'd like to take you back to coming out of high school, the decisions that you made to why you were going to go to the college that you were going to go to. What is it that you wanted to pursue? Where did you see your life going at that point?
I think for many people, you know, you have a grand idea of I'd like to be this when I grow up, or whatever that goal or, you know, education outcome. I'm not sure I really knew exactly what I wanted to be. I just wanted to know that I was doing what God had called me to be. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't to be a pastor like you, but to be something in a field where you can make a difference, not make money per se. And some would say, oh, you know, everybody wants to be a major league baseball player, or, you know, football player. And like, I liked playing, but it wasn't a goal. I think a great leadership lesson is the decisions, they impact the next. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if I had gone to a very large college or university, could I have gotten lost in the shuffle? You know, would I have not gotten some of the attention from a professor or maybe an academic advisor or a coach, you know? And if you go to a smaller school, you know, it's a little bit of a, you know, fishbowl, you know, not much goes on without everybody knowing about it.
Well, give a little plug for your alma mater. Don't leave them
hanging.
Well,
yeah, so my alma mater is Hope College. It is not a university, it's a college. Liberal arts, it's a faith-based college. There's a number of them in Michigan. About 3,500 students, roughly. Mm-hmm. So for many people who maybe went to a very large high school, it's about the same,
right?
You know. But I think as we make those decisions, you know, who you meet and who influences you, mm-hmm. or what opportunities you get, certainly each decision, you know, sort of multiplies, sure. or accentuates. So your plug is kind of a cool on where you went to school and why, mm-hmm. and what you still love to be knowledgeable on, but it didn't come to fruition on what you ended up being.
Right. Well, I knew for sure, as clearly as I had ever heard God speak to me, I knew that he said that I was going to be a doctor. And so I applied and went to Oral Roberts University. It was the only university that I applied to. And so I went halfway across the country to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I chose that as well because it was a faith-based school. But what I really was looking forward to is that they were just starting a medical college as well. And so I was going to do my pre-med and my college there. And they were making a really concerted effort to take the doctors and have them do some medical missions experience. Mm-hmm. So after you came out of medical school, that you would be able to give back in some different communities. And but as clearly as I heard God speak that to me, I just as clearly heard him change the direction for me and put me on a totally different trajectory that, right. You know, again, had I not made that change, would I have ended up in West Michigan where I would have crossed paths with you? Probably not.
Right.
And yet, if I had not gone to Oral Roberts University, I wouldn't have met my wife.
Exactly.
So those decisions along the way. Yeah, now, when you went to college, did you start and finish with the same major? You kind of tweaked it as you went along.
Well, and I think this is permission for leaders, whether you're a college age student or a parent of a college, you know, the number of times you change your major or your focus. Mm-hmm. So originally, I love psychology. I love the people part. You know, not so much the product or the process, and I love the study of people. You know. Why do they tick? You know, what makes them, what lights their fire? And so I thought maybe sports psychology or health psychology or nutrition or well-being, something, you know, mind, body, soul, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I got to college, a couple of my buddies came across some problems. And I realized this is maybe a great leadership aha for you. I tried to fix them. Huh. And I quickly learned that probably wouldn't be the profession where I would be successful. I have a lot of empathy and interest in people, but to be a psychologist and they don't get better or they don't follow through,
sure.
I'm not sure how well I would have done. So I modified and added a business. So I had a dual major.
Yep. And I as well had also added the business component because I was very interested in business and was thinking, well, maybe after I practice medicine for a while, maybe I could go into like some sort of administrative role, and because there are very few administrators that had the practical hands-on medical experience. And so they were making decisions completely from kind of a bean counter standpoint, not from how does that help the patient or how does that benefit the staff
right.
that are there. Yeah. Now, when you came out of college, you were drafted mm-hmm. By two teams.
Not by the military.
No.
Not by the military, yeah. I played a lot of sports. I like to compete at a high level, so do you. And it's just enjoyable, keep your eyes focused and sure. go after it. Now I'm very good at bass fishing. I'm really competitive with the bass. And I'm just teasing. I don't fish. I go to the shopping mall to get my
fish. I'll pick it up there, right?
Exactly. I think that the challenge for sports is you really have to understand you're not alone. Hmm. Now, there are some sports, golf, but you're on a team, but it's yeah. still your score.
Yeah.
Swimming, it's your time in the water, yeah. and then total for the school.
Yep.
I happen to play truly team sports. Like if one person didn't do their job, the play is probably broken.
Right.
So I think that probably taught me a lot about leading, serving. You know, mm-hmm. a plug for your book, you know, that whole shepherd in selfless servant leadership is just not naturally taught. You right. have to experience
That's
it.
For sure.
Yep. You have to experience it. So, yeah, played sports, got drafted in the NFL and baseball in high school. But the fun part is I got to play at the school that I felt that's where God wanted me with the right people.
Yep.
And today they're still friends. In fact, I'm having lunch with two of my coaches next week after – you know, a couple of years I've been out of college. Yep. So
just a couple.
Yeah. But I think changing course
yes.
is a great leadership lesson yeah. too. Like I had intended to be a psychologist, but then I realized I'm not sure I could sure. be patient enough.
Yeah.
In your story, but being a doctor versus right. business.
Well, and I think that is a great leadership lesson is that some of these things where, you know, you discover, it's a self-discovery, and sometimes somebody might close a door on you and say, nope, you're not going to go in here. And you can, from those, you have a choice. You can just, you know, kind of resign and just sit down and just go, oh, well, you know, my life right. just didn't turn out that way and just sit there. Or you can say, well, that door closed, must be another door that opened somewhere right. and keep pushing towards that. And I think that that's how I've kind of viewed my life all along, is that God sends me messages. Sometimes he's speaking directly to me, and sometimes he's speaking through circumstances, and sometimes he's speaking through people, because there are some people that will point out things to me that they'll say, I see this in you. And you do? I don't see that. But then once it's on your radar screen, then you begin, oh yeah. And you can kind of make these little adjustments to be on the path and be where you can be most effective.
I like your word self-reflective. And then I think the other part, which is what we enjoy doing, is coaching. Mm-hmm. If you're coachable and you're reflective, you've got superpower.
Yes.
Because you're doing it, you know, yourself. It's not easy, you know.
Right.
But then someone else speaks in or shows you something, you're like, God, I just never saw that.
Yep.
So I think that's the part for us leaders, as we develop leaders, that's our job, is to find the self-reflective or the self-aware as in addition to coachability.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So let's fast forward a little bit. When you came back to West Michigan, where you grew up, you grew up on the west side of the state. I grew up on the east side of the state. But you got involved in a business field. And even when you got in there, there was a company that you started with and you learned some things, but that's not where you ended up. And so how did you get like kind of nudged and refine what you wanted to do? Because you ended up with a very small, specific kind of niche in your work.
Yeah. So, I didn't go to college to be in insurance. But as I learned, you know, there are skills that you acquire, whether it's sports or getting to college and finishing and living on your own. And so I think one of the niches in sales is they want to find someone who's been in sports, because there is a preparation.
Sure.
There's an effort. You got to work out. You've got to plan. You've got to make halftime adjustments if you're in the sales position. So a group, pretty good insurance firm at that time, really liked sales people. So mostly athletes in the company, male and female, it didn't matter. They just knew that there was a special it factor.
Sure.
But I'll stop there with the company. Other than, you know, when I went to college, in the books that they would teach you, you know, whether it was marketing or economics or management, whatever, never did I read anything about how this agency was run. I'm like, so how that was run was pretty much opposite what the books say. And as a young kid, you know, green behind the ears, I'm like, this doesn't look sustainable. And sure enough, in 2 years, 23 of us were, you know, lost our jobs. They were taken from Paul to pay Peter, and just ended up making a lot of mistakes as a business. And partly it was a great lesson for my first job.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate it if I had spent 40 years with them and that happened and you finish poorly.
Yeah.
So that was an aha of, yeah, life is, we're going to have face some adversity and have to have some underbelly that's decent, because it's not, I don't control everything.
Right.
You don't control everything. So that was an aha for me. Like, they didn't teach me that in school. I wouldn't write about it, but it was great for me to, I'm going to find another place without some of those attributes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then as you went into another company, you were happy with them there until, once again, they made a decision that you're like, well, this isn't going to let me stay in my sweet spot by the decision that you're making here. And then so there was another little nudge.
Right. I would say for me, I enjoyed the people part again. Mm-hmm. My niche in insurance was just nonprofits, which is very myopic, you know, when you consider Main Street, you know, manufacturers, contractors, et cetera. And as I got to know a lot of the people, I enjoyed their balance of, they were business people, but really they were caregivers. They had a heart.
Yeah.
And I like that combo of a really good business person and a really good caring person.
Right.
And so that's really kind of where I celebrated. And I built a very good book of nonprofits, not just in one state, but multiple. And it was a great ride. I got to meet lots of wonderful people. Interesting. Sometimes they became CEO with just an automatic, I get the trajectory, you're going to be that.
Sure.
Others fell into it like, yeah, this happened in my life, and I decided to sell my business and become a nonprofit executive director. So just it was just warm to be around wonderful people that cared, and they provided services, whether veterans or people with disability, et cetera. So,
well, you know, and I started on, again, on the east side of the state, I was involved in a couple of businesses. It's the same thing. It's like, once you got in there, almost your story, like, okay, how is this going to keep going?
Right.
In fact, the first company that I was in, my second month there, I was the top producer in the office that I was in, which was the busiest office of all of them. And I was like, oh, okay, I think I got the hang of this. Well, then month three, I was also the top person. And month four, I was the top person. And then I realized there's nowhere for me to go. I mean, I already, 2 months into it, I already hit the ceiling, and there's no growth opportunities here. I need to find the growth opportunities. And right around that time is when my parents were coming to West Michigan. They were looking for a retirement project and wanted to buy a business over here. And then that's when I came and met you. But one of the things that I appreciated that we got to do very early on, you were involved in a program through our church that was going into the inner city and was working with the youth, but didn't have a permanent home. It was very mobile, very fluid.
Right.
And then we got to be involved in a project together right downtown Grand Rapids, pretty rough neighborhood.
Yep.
Took an old, what was that built in, like the 1920s?
1919.
Yeah. And it was, it been kind of a vaudeville stop for the theater. And then it had become very disreputable as time went along, and had like, we found, when we went in there, there's like literally bullet holes in the walls inside. I mean, it was, but we got to redeem that place and give a permanent home to be able to minister to youth right down there. And that's where, you know, we got to use the business head, the ministry heart, start pulling in business people to support this thing and pull in big hearted, kind people to minister to those kids down there.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I don't know about for you, but for me, that was a real aha moment for me that, like, I can do business and I can do this ministry stuff at the same time. And, you know, I can let God bless my business so that, like, when we come in to work with these nonprofits, I don't have to like try to take a salary from there or get anything from it financially. My business over here is taking care of me and my family, and then I just get to plug in here without, you know, expecting any compensation.
And it's a compliment. You, when you joined our organization, Joy Youth Center, it really was perfect timing for us as friends, a place for you to kind of launch ministry and business. There were a lot of great board members and a lot of great volunteers and staff, and we served, you know, hundreds of kids a week. It was just very fulfilling for at-risk, you know, almost latchkey kids, you know, in difficult spots. But I think your heart is, I can make money in a vocation, but the combination of being able to be generous.
Yes.
And that's where I think it clicked for you. Like, I love coming down here. You know, that was really fun to watch. And that's the vision of where God, I think, wanted to call us all in. Like, it's one thing to make money, boys. It's another thing to give.
Yes.
And we had some, you know, it was well represented, very diverse board, lots of females, males, different colors, creeds, walks, you know, just pedigree. It was beautiful. It was really mosaic. I mean, it was pretty cool.
You know, I will add, I just, I'm smiling as I think back to some of the board meetings, not only diverse as far as just about any category, but the personalities. We would have so much fun at those board meetings. I mean, we got work done, but the personalities there, I looked forward to going to those board meetings every month because it was just, what a great group of people to be around.
Well, and for those, you know, whether they had corporate jobs or, you know, they were a retail, you know, they got to, like, I can make a difference.
Yeah.
I think it's another lesson for us leaders to invite people to join us.
Yes.
And they can try Habitat for Humanity or a feeding program or a veterans program or a education program or a charity that works with disabilities or whatever it is. What it brings out of you isn't, you know, ROI.
No.
I know you have to balance the budget to run a nonprofit, and there's a lot of other pieces, but It was like, what can we do with these kids?
Yes.
That was our goal. Yep. It wasn't, we've arrived and we're sitting on this board. And no, ours was like, roll up our sleeves. We'd make popcorn and play catch and whatever else. It was beautiful.
It was, I think one of I remember one of the leadership lessons that we tried to teach some of the kids down there, you know, they all thought that they were going to be the next whatever basketball player that you want, you know. Yeah. And so we would play basketball against them, usually like 2-on-5. It would just be the two of us against five of them. And we would tell them up front, the more that you play like a team and pass the ball, we'll back off a little bit. But if you want to just be the 1-on-1 and try to think you're going to dominate, like once the ball gets in your hand, then we're going to kind of ratchet it up. And They would learn the lesson pretty quickly. They'd be like, okay, all right.
You guys are going to beat us if we don't.
We're going to pass the ball, okay.
Yeah, you guys won again.
That was a lot of fun.
Maybe, from this point going forward then, Craig, what would be on your, like, dream list? Like, what would you like to do, with Good Shepherd Consulting, your book, whether it's pastoring? What would you say, like, this would be up on the bucket list if I could do something with all this?
Sure. Well, I love being able to... so obviously, I, as Greg mentioned earlier, I am a pastor now, but I got here through a pretty different path. Right. A lot of people, I think it's safe to say, they kind of come out of high school, go to Bible college, go to seminary, and then go to work in a church, and that certainly wasn't my case. And so I view ministry, I think, through a different lens. But at the same time, I also still view businesses, for-profit businesses, through a different lens. And so I love doing that with people, is coming in and saying, okay, you're a for-profit business, but let's not just use your head here. Let's use your heart. And like we just mentioned about the Joy Youth Center, I think you could unleash a lot of potential in your people when they realize what they're working for is not just the bottom line of a corporation, but they're also working for, like, if this company is successful, I have money that not only the company, but I personally can now invest and be involved in other places. But it's the same thing with the churches. I think a lot of times churches have a really big heart to minister, but they're not thinking things through, like, from a business perspective. And I know you saw that a lot in your nonprofit insurance, you're not going to be doing this for long because you're going to run out of money if you, and so that's what I would love to be in that place. I love pasturing my church. I love being the shepherd of a church. But I also love working with those other leaders, both in the for-profit and the nonprofit, to be able to, let me open your eyes to maybe seeing it from a different perspective.
I think that's one of the things when you read, first off, consulting or consultant, my dad has always joked, I don't know what that is.
Right.
Did you used to sell or did you used to manage, used to could. And I think for you, you're bring the medical mind, the business mind, the pastor mind together. It's a nice combo to wrap. You can help a nonprofit. You can help a church. You can help a smaller business, family-owned business. You've been in all those seats. It's really cool. What I think is going to end up happening for Good Shepherd Consulting is hopefully you'll have time to be with me and do this more often.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, what about you? Where do you see it going forward?
I thought about for us, I would love for us to maybe have sponsors and do a syndicate. I'm not, Joe Rogan level, but I think there's value in sharing good news and encouraging data and stories. And it's a little negative, it's a little bitter out there, whether it's mainstream or whatever. But I think that would be kind of a upbeat for us to get to the next level sponsors and maybe measure this a little bigger. Mm-hmm. It's been awesome, and we get lots of great feedback. But, maybe sponsor and syndicate, that would be kind of a fun goal for us, my opinion.
Sure. Yeah. And tell everybody about, you've got a couple of really cool keynote addresses that you do for organizations. Tell people a little bit about a couple of them.
Yeah, I think, if you take a sales organization, what's the number one pain is they just need more people to talk to, or engage with, whether that's prospecting, pipelining, whatever words you want to use. So one of my favorites, often it's requested, is, more at-bats and better pitches. Sometimes you can get at-bats, but you're wasting time, so you want a little better pitch. Mm-hmm. That's been fun. There's a lot of, helpful reminders, but also like, ah, put that on its head. That's a different way to think of it, mindset.
Yep.
I like referralocity is my other one for sales. It's how do you get word of mouth and the value of that? Because I could buy billboards everywhere and it's not going to draw the people, you know.
Sure.
From a leadership standpoint, I think, you know, one thing that we keep on preaching is, you know, to be selfless or be a servant. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, empathy is a pretty easy subject regarding leaders. I think anticipating, you know, things as a leader, they're looking for us to lead,
yep.
you know, how do we get through the woods? You know, those are fun ones. I think grit is one that I like. I've learned that a lot just from playing sports and trying to balance everything. And I hope you all do this, but you know, no matter your age, go back to school. The things that, you know, we were first taught at 18, now at 36 or at 55, it's just different. So, you know, going and getting a master's couple of degrees after I had family,
right,
you know, was a shot in the arm for me because I remembered what I studied younger, but
yeah,
you know,
got to keep learning.
Got to keep learning.
Yep.
Yeah. So I would say those are a couple of them. How about you?
Well, you know, so listen, this is what I think, you know, going forward with the two of us is if there's topics that you'd like us to cover, as you can tell, we've got a diverse background that we can offer unique perspective. So if you could go to Maximize Podcast on Twitter or just leave a comment below here on this video and say, hey, it'd be great for you to talk about this topic. And on the Craig and Greg Show, then we like to talk about kind of general principles and ideas. But we can also really help you out and get very individualized with your business, your organization, or your personal leadership in our coaching huddles. So if you go to our website, maximizeleadership.com, there is a page on there about our coaching huddles. You can watch a really short video where we talk about it a little bit more. But there's also a no obligation form. If you just say, can you get a little bit more specific about, here's my situation, what could you do with me in a coaching huddle? Just fill that out. We're not going to bombard you with material. We'll answer your questions straightforward. We'll say, we think we can help, and this is the way that we would do that. Or we might say, I don't think that we're the right ones to be able to help you with that. But just fill out that form, maximizeleadership.com. Look for the coaching huddle, fill out that form. So we can get personal with you, very individualized, or we can talk about general topics on the Craig and Greg Show. We just want to be here to be able to invest in you, to give back to you. So contact us.
By the way, that shirt is us.
Yes. Iron sharpens iron.
Sometimes I get a little dull, so he sharpens me.
That's right. You need to get a shirt like that.
I have one, but I think my son took it.
Oh, it's too bad. Well, if you haven't subscribed already on YouTube, please do so and click the bell so that you're notified every time that a episode of the Craig and Greg Show drops. We look forward to being with you again real soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of the Craig and Greg Show.